What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to this episode. I have a quick cut in here before we get to the actual episode. Oddly enough, the last episode I recorded was of just a few minutes before we got the commitment from Daryl Jackson. Apparently, the same thing has happened again. I just finished wrapping up another episode, and in comes the commitment of Kyle Morlock. So apparently, I need to start doing more episodes whenever there's a crucial commit on the line, because it seems to be the magic charm. So anyway, with that being said, guys, I do talk about Morlock in this episode. I do talk about him with the mindset that Florida State is going to land him. But just do know that he did, as of 4:24 on the 15th this afternoon, he did commit to Florida State. That has been made official. So now we'll get back to the regular show. And again, thank you guys for tuning in. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thank you for tuning in. We got a little bit of ground to cover in this episode. You know, I originally thought this might be a little bit of a slow time with the season wrapping up, just kind of hanging out, waiting on the bowl game to show up, and not really. It's been a wild time with just the portal and early signing day coming up. So you got recruiting in full swing, bowl practices and stuff like that that's going on. Now, if you listen to this podcast before, you do know that I don't cover every single detail of recruiting. I don't live in Tallahassee. I don't have access, media access or anything like that. So it is hard for me to kind of cover that. So I just hit the highlights, what I'm hearing, you know, what I'm gathering from other sources and, you know, kind of just the commitments that they did get, because I don't really have a whole lot of inside sources inside the program or anything like that. Now, if you listen to this and you are a source and you know, hey, get in my inbox. But you know, for now, we'll just cover it like it is. And, you know, recruiting is such a fickle thing anymore nowadays. Anyway, people flipping left and right. And, you know, the word commitment doesn't seem to mean a whole heck of a lot nowadays. So I just cover it with what I got. And, you know, I'm not really worried, like I talk about all the time. I'm not really worried about being first. I'm more worried about being right, because I don't want to have to eat crow later if I can help it. But we're going to talk about the news that we do have, talk about some of the things that I'm hearing, and it's just stuff like that. Before that, I hope everybody's doing good. I hope you guys are having a good week. It's kind of rainy and cold here, so not a whole lot going on. I've just been really locked in on getting ready for early signing day coming up next week, the 21st. Really just trying to hammer out edit after edit after edit just to get ready for signing day, to get an early start on it. I've also made some, so no one better decommit from this class, because I'm telling you, I spent a lot of time making these edits, and, you know, I keep some ready for some surprise commitments or maybe some flips, but we better not have too many decommitments here, because it took a long time to make some of these. But I'm excited for early signing day. It is always fun to do, and, you know, hopefully I can put something extra special together for you guys for that. Yeah, you know, maybe come on and do a recap show or something like that. But anyway, I also made some updates to the website this week. It's just some changes, some things that I really have been wanting to roll out during the season. But I really didn't have time with the content cram of trying to get everything ready for each week. And I also didn't want to break the website on a game week, because I do everything here myself, and that includes the web design. So if something doesn't ever work on the website, it's probably, you know, it's my fault. But hopefully you guys enjoy the changes. Just some things to make it, give it a little facelift, make it a little more user-friendly, and add a few more features there. We've actually added a recruiting page there now, too, so you can keep up with Tribe 23. I'm going to get 24 added on there as soon as I get the time to do so. Like I said, it takes some time. It's a process. I also did get my replica spear in this week, so that's pretty exciting. It is, you know, one of the 6-foot-tall replica spears. You know, if you followed the saga on social media, I've been waiting on this thing for almost a year now, and it finally came in, and it's beautiful. So I love it. I'm so happy to have it. It's kind of like the crown jewel that I've been waiting on to finish decorating the office / studio here at my house. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, it took forever, but it was worth the wait in the end. And I did post a picture on social media. Not like you guys don't know what the spear already looks like, but if you want to check that out, you can find it on our page. So with that being said, we do have some recruiting news to talk about since the last time I recorded an episode. You know, nothing exciting or breaking or nothing, you know, no nuggets or anything like that that's going to lead maybe into some things, you know, who knows. But we'll go ahead and cover some of the commitments that Florida State did get already. And that leads off with Miami defensive tackle transfer Daryl Jackson. which his commitment feels like forever ago. So maybe I need to record a little bit more often, but I did try to wait and hold this episode to a little later in the week. I do apologize for that. I just wanted to see if the news would break because the last episode I recorded, right after that, Daryl Jackson committed. So I tried to wait a little bit later in the week, but I'm going to go ahead and get this one out for you guys. So he does announce that he wants to transfer from Miami to Florida State. Now, there is the caveat of he does need a waiver to become immediately eligible. He started his college career in Maryland and then transferred to Miami. So he has used his one-time transfer. Now, the staff, the family, his mother included, they do feel good that he's going to get the waiver because he's moving closer to home for a family illness. So he does feel good about that. I feel like, you know, they probably expected that and it's part of the reason why they took him. So I do think he's going to be a help for Florida State. He is 6'6", 300 pounds. He has over 600 snaps of experience, 16 pressures, 3 sacks last season with a PFF grade of 72.4. Now, like we always talk about, the PFF grade isn't the end-all be-all, but it does give you an idea of usually who is an above-average player and who's not. And 72.4 is quality Power 5 starter status. So I do think he is going to be able to help Florida State next year. And, you know, you lost a guy like Jared Jackson, who was kind of a rotational player, a little bit of a backup. Went some, you know, he left to go pursue more playing time, I suppose. And I do feel like Daryl Jackson, you know, just like the Jackson 5 here, we got too many Jacksons floating around. But Daryl Jackson is an upgrade to me over Jared Jackson. And so I think you get that step up there on your interior defensive line. Now, I do think that while you are waiting on Fabian Lovett to make his decision, and I suppose the coaching staff probably knows more about that than we do, I do think they're going to need to go get some more help because hypothetically, say he leaves, you don't have enough with just Daryl Jackson. You need some more guys. So they're going to have to pursue some more defensive tackles. You know, you still like some of the younger guys, some of the ones that flashed last year. But, you know, with Florida State really trying to make a legit run in 2023, you know, you want to not leave the cupboard bare at any position if you can help it. And now, I do have a good feeling that Fabian Lovett is probably going to come back. You know, Jared Verse maybe not, but I think Fabian Lovett does have a pretty good chance to come back. Now, if Verse comes back too, whoo boy, we might be in for something next year. That would be exciting. But I do think this is a good pickup for Florida State just to kind of help you out last year at a position where you got your depth got exposed. You know, we saw they struggled to stop the run when Fabian Lovett was out. You didn't expect for him to miss the whole season almost. You know, he missed a good chunk of it there in the middle. And you missed his presence. So this is somewhere that they need to build depth of quality guys. Now, of course, your young guys got trial by fire last year, and so they have a lot more of an experience. And so you expect them to perform better this year. But you still need some higher-end guys. I mean, you lost Coop, who's departed, and he was kind of that cornerstone defensive tackle for you. Now, he wasn't a dominant player necessarily. You know, and I love Coop. He's a space eater. But, you know, he was there for you all the time. He was just someone you could hang your hat on showing up and being consistent. So this was a good pickup for them. Next pickup, you get a transfer from South Carolina in technically tight end Jaheim Bell. Now, I say technically tight end because he doesn't fit the mold of your typical tight end. He's kind of shorter at 6'3". He does have the good size on him at 232. But he's not that typical really tall tight end. I think it's just kind of position by definition. But he's able to play multiple positions, which is nice. And he did that at South Carolina. Due to some injury last year, he actually finished the season at running back for them and did pretty well. So I think, you know, he's going to be someone that you're going to see. He's a really good athlete. Like if you saw some of the pictures on social media, this dude is chiseled out of stone. And he's 6'3", 232 pounds that can move. So he's going to be an asset. He is going to be a weapon that's added to a already loaded arsenal, which is the Florida State offense. And so I'm excited to see how Norvell is going to use him. I'm sure that was part of a big part of the reason why he ended up landing at Florida State, probably because Mike Norvell shows that he can get him involved in the offense in from more than just a tight end position. Now, his blocking isn't that great, but that's not why you're bringing him in. You have a guy like Markeeston Douglas who flashed a little bit last year, you know. But the tight end room, when you take Cam out, who wasn't the greatest blocker, he was a pretty good receiver, and then you also lose Wyatt Rector. It was one of the position groups on offense where you just haven't really got anything from the position in a few years, or at least since Norvell's been here. And it was something that was just kind of a void that needed to be filled to kind of take it to the next level for this offense. And this is one of the players that can help you do that. He is a good receiving tight end who can, once he gets the ball, he can move with it. Now, of course, that doesn't mean they're not going to go, you know, still go after the shorter transfer, Kyle Morlock, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But at 6'7", 245, Morlock gives you more of that really big red zone threat type tight end, you know, more of your typical tight end. Now, 245 is a little light, but you would think once you get him in with Storms and the nutrition program at Florida State, you could put 10, 15 pounds on him and he'll be just fine. So I still think they want to take both. And if you're able to do that, you're able to flip a room that really needed it. The one room that kind of was just didn't have anything special there. And now you have that. And if you can get Morlock too, that's a completely different outlook for the tight end room than you had a month ago. And so you do have some young guys there that could develop into something, but it's like we always talk about. When you're trying to make a run on something, young guys are okay for depth, but you don't want to have to rely on what's Brian Courtney going to be like, what's Jarrell Powers going to be like, as someone who's never really played the position. So you want some guys that you can count on, and you have one, and you might be landing two. And then, you know, again, Marquiston Douglas does feel like a guy that you kind of saw some flashes from, that he might have a big year this year as well. But you can't go into the season relying on just one guy. So when we look at Bell, what he did at South Carolina, he had, during his career, 55 receptions, 752 yards, 7 touchdowns. Now, he had a very impressive 85.7 catch rate in 2022. So he catches just about everything you throw at him. On his career, he has 81 carries, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, only 2 fumbles. So he's very good with the ball. Like, he doesn't fumble a lot, doesn't drop the pass a lot. And his PFF grades in 2021 were 85.6, which is very impressive. That is one of the, you know, that's probably one of the higher PFF grades that you're going to see from a tight end. And then in 2022, it did drop a little bit. 77.0 was his PFF grade for 2022. Now, we do know there was a little bit of apprehension between, you know, him not getting a whole lot of playing time or touches, you know, or whatever, when the way he was being used, wasn't exactly happy about that at South Carolina. You know, I don't know how much sense it makes to come to a crowded kind of offense full of weapons already, but, you know, hopefully he's not listening to this because, you know, bring them all, give them all to me. You know, I want all the weapons you can get. But it is exciting because he is a dynamic player that I'm going to be really excited to see in Garnet Gold next year. And so next up, rounding out the commitments before we talk about some non-committed recruits here. Florida State kind of out of nowhere picked up a 2024 defensive tackle commit, 3-star Jamori Flagg out of Miami. So it just adds another piece into an already impressive 2024 class, which, again, you know, that's the thing. When people talk about Norvell can't recruit and all this, like, of course the high school recruiting needs to be a little better. But like we talked about in the last episode, you see a higher caliber of transfer that are, you know, they're willing to come in here and work because they know the business end of things. A lot of the high school guys, they want to be a part of some, you know, they want to be successful. They want to have the ring. They want to chase the championship and things like that. And that's not something that Florida State's had to, you know, sell before. Now, when you take your 9-3 season and you go into a class of 2023 recruit, they're probably already, you know, a higher end guy anyway. They probably already have relationships. They're probably already been interested in a program that's been winning. So that relationship is going to be hard to, you know, flip on its head with just your recent success. But when you look at 24 and the classes that are farther out, now they see that this program is back respectable. Now they see Florida State is going to play for something. And that's why 2023 is so big on top of that, because you need to follow up that success with another successful season. And, you know, let's just say here this time next year, Mike Norvell's sitting down in the living room with an ACC championship ring on his finger, you know, hypothetically, of course, but it's certainly possible. And maybe, a chance at a playoff berth or already locked in, then that's going to help sell itself. And that's going to put you in the conversation for some bigger recruits in the future classes. And so, you know, it's something, it's all cumulative. You build the relationships, but you also now have the success to sell. And you also have, you know, we know the new NIL stuff that Florida State's able to be more competitive in as well. So continuing down the line, just some other news, not necessarily Florida State related. Reuben Bain does commit to Miami. Whatever, you know, they try and sell this as some kind of big, you know, battle between Florida State and Miami, and they stole them, you know, a big recruiting win for them. But that just wasn't the case. It never was the case. You know, he's from Miami. He's a legacy, and he has a family member on Miami staff. So he was always going to Miami. This is not a surprise. This is not a shock. This is not a Mike Norvell can't recruit because you lost, you know, someone who was already going to go there. The thing is, this staff has to do what they, you know, if you get a chance to get him on campus, of course you're going to invite him on campus. You have to do what you have to do regardless because, you know, like we talked about last episode with the portal era of college football nowadays, just because a kid commits somewhere out of high school or signs somewhere, it doesn't necessarily mean that recruitment is over. Jaheim Bell is a perfect example of that. You know, he chose South Carolina over Florida State back in the day because Florida State just kind of looked like they had a lot of uncertainty. And I don't blame him for that. But now he's back with Florida State. So who's to say this kid doesn't go to Miami, you know, maybe say 2 years from now, Miami's still a dumpster fire, and he's looking for a way out. You did the right thing. You got him on campus. You celebrated his mom's birthday. He had a good visit. You know, all that good stuff. He's probably going to be your first phone call whenever he looks to transfer. So, you know, like we talked about before, you have to keep that line of connection. You have to keep that relationship going. And so I don't fault Florida State staff for bringing him in. I don't fault them for giving him the attention on an official visit because you never know what the future holds. And I think it's smart to do that. You know, but it's not some kind of big loss for them. So anyway, that's enough time on a Miami commit. We'll keep going down the list here. So next up is the ever-important target that we talked about earlier, and that is Kyle Morlock, the shorter tight end transfer. And now shorter is the college name. He is not short. He is 6'7", 245 pounds. Last season had 30 receptions, 446 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So you can obviously see they do like to get him involved in the red zone. He is that bigger target that you can, you know, you can. He would give you another option in the red zone because how many times do we see Florida State get down there and throw the fade to Micah Pittman, who is one of the shorter receivers that you got? You know, you have Johnny Wilson, but a lot of times they know you're going to go to him with the ball. So now you give me 2 6'7" targets in the end zone or in the red zone, and you have someone like Jaheim Bell, who's a power back too, and Jordan Travis has his running ability. Oh, man, you know, this could really change things in the red zone where it was somewhere that they struggled last year. You know, hopefully your kicking is better this year too. But Morlock is another, it would be a big get for Florida State because, you know, like we talked about, if you land both of these guys, you kind of flip that room in essence. You know, now you're only three deep really with proven contributors, you know, but that's more than you had last year. So I think that, you know, if they can land him, that would be good. For Florida State to flip that room for this offense, give them another target in the pass game. You know, like I said, you probably want to put 10, 15 pounds on him to help get his blocking ability up. But this one does seem like it's going to come down to Florida State and Tennessee, both which were in his top three, which were named, I believe, last night. Now, Norvell and Thompson did an in-home this week with him. I do like where Florida State stands on him. I do think they're going to end up landing Morlock. You know, but Tennessee is in the mix. He has visited there a few times, and it is closest to home. He is from North Georgia, so it's not that far from Knoxville. So, you know, that's going to be a little bit of a battle, but I do like where Florida State stands with him, and I think they will eventually pick up that commitment. Next up on Flip Watch, you have Cameron Robinson, who was on campus last weekend for an official visit. He's currently a UVA commit. And, you know, I think you got a flip watch coming on here because he had a really good time on his visit. And, you know, if you want to read in the tea leaves of recruiting, and, you know, sometimes, like we talk about after an official visit, there's a lot of emotions and, you know, maybe some things that you just kind of got to let the dust settle and let the excitement come down a little bit. You know, but he requested an edit the other night after his official visit. And you don't really request that edit unless you have some news to break. So if you're reading the tea leaves there, that could be something to watch. And I do think that would be a nice get for Florida State to add to the class. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to keep some edits on the side just in case too, just in case we got some news to break. I could be a little surprised there on early signing day, but I like where the Noles stand with him as well. And I mean, UVA is a good school academically, but they are in a little bit of a rebuild right now with the new coach, and they did have some players transfer out. So it may be another tough year for them as well. Now, continuing on down the list, Jeremiah Byers. This is obviously a big target for Florida State. He is going to be the transfer from UTEP. He is an offensive lineman, potentially looks like, you know, more of an interior guy there. But good thing for Florida State is that's kind of what they need. They need that interior guy with Dylan Gibbons and Demetri Emmanuel departing. Those are the two holes you got to fill. And, you know, a lot of the offensive line to me depends on how the young guys are coming along. Now, we don't know that because we're not coaches. We can't make that decision. You know, I feel like a guy like Julian Armella is probably going to be one of your starting offensive tackles next year. But with those guys, it takes at least a year, sometimes two, sometimes three, for these guys to be ready at a collegiate level, size and strength-wise. And so I do think Byers is a guy who can come in and be a day one starter for you. He can fill one of those holes and be a serviceable offensive lineman in the ACC. Of course, playing at UTEP, you don't know how he's going to translate to the Power 5, but he was a first-team all-conference player there. He only allowed 8 pressures and 1 sack all of last season. You know, again, against the competition, I understand, but that's still pretty impressive numbers. He had a PFF grade of 81.2, which is nice, and he has over 2,000 snaps of experience. Now, he looked like he had a lot of fun on his visit, looked like he bonded well with Alex Atkins. And, of course, you always feel confident in Atkins to, you know, pick the right guy first off and then be able to land him. And, the other thing is he is picking up some pretty tough Power 5 competition. I think he actually just got an offer from Ohio State today. So, you know, there's going to be some competition there. It may not be as easy as you initially thought. You know, I swear, if other programs probably see Atkins offer anybody and they throw in an offer too because they know he's good at what he does. But I do like that Florida State was able to get him on campus for an official, you know, kind of get their claws into him first. And I do like where they stand with Byers, but that's going to be a big one that you're going to want to land. So we'll just have to keep our eyes on that. I think Florida State is in a good place with him. You know, like I said, we'll just have to see how it develops over the next few days and leading up to when he makes his decision. So next up is defensive back Conrad Hussey, who is a Penn State commit currently. Now, this is another one that I am going to put on flip watch. And, I mean, honestly, when I say flip watch, that's a gut feeling more than anything. I don't have any inside information there. But he is from Florida, and he grew up a Noles fan. And he sounds like he really enjoyed his visit. When you combine those things, that, to me, puts somebody on flip watch because you're a heck of a lot closer to home than Pennsylvania, and you grew up an Noles fan. And, you know, imagine, I can tell you, if I was a 5-star recruit, a 1-star recruit, it doesn't matter. Like, if they let me put on that uniform and walk out in Doak and take a picture in front of a flaming spear, which is what I saw some of the pictures that came out from their official visit weekend, man, I don't want to even see nowhere else. So, like, you know, if he really did grow up a Noles fan, I'm sure that's got to be a pretty easy sell to get him to flip. Now, of course, you know, James Franklin is a good recruiter, and Penn State is a good program. It's not like you're battling someone in a rebuild like UVA, but I do feel like this one could go good for the good guys here, just being closer to home, just being the program that he grew up wanting to be a part of, and, you know, having a good time on his visit as well. You know, he talked about some of the things that he enjoyed, and they met some of his, you know, checked the boxes that he was looking for. So that's good news there, too. Devontae Brown, UCF transfer, again, another player that I think the Noles are in a good position to land. Maybe not so much his little brother, Damari, who did come with him on an unofficial visit. Kind of got a 2-for-1 there. You know, Florida State did the right thing by getting him in. It never hurts, especially if you're able to land his big brother. You know, he may be able to kind of influence that recruitment. Who knows? More than likely going to end up at Miami or Alabama there. But at the same time, Devontae is the one that you're really going after because you need the help right now. Because again, like we talked about, Florida State's trying to make a run at something in 2023. And I mean, it really does feel like with the transfers that they're going after and with the player retention that they've had, especially with the Battles End coming on board, you know, it really feels like they're loading up. They're trading all their draft picks to make a run next year. And so this is the one that you need to help you out in the secondary. He has over 1,900 snaps of experience, 30 total tackles last year, 2 interceptions, only allowed a 48.1% reception rate. PFF grade was 82.3 in 2021, which was far above average. And he does know Tatum Bethune, played with him at UCF for a couple years. And so he's able to help sell this program along with the coaching staff. And that's big. And that's something that I talked about in my article recently. where you guys can go check that out. The Something Special is Brewing in Tallahassee article is when you have a guy like Jermaine Johnson who's willing to, you know, kind of stick his neck out there for Norvell and this program to a guy like Jared Verse to help land those things. And now you can have Tatum Bethune pay it forward in a sense that, you know, this staff is real and they, you know, they're good coaches and they are straight up honest with him and things like that. And this is a good move for him. Then that helps the recruitment sell itself. And so that's big to have an insider there. And like I said, it's just a guy, you know, I don't know that he's going to be a game changer for you, but they obviously feel like they got some needs on the back end there. You know, you just saw some guys where, you know, Renardo Green really had a good year. You're probably going to have to replace Jamie Robinson. We know that. You know, more than likely he's going to go to the NFL. But you also rotated some guys at the other corner spots that you didn't really feel confident about. You had some guys that really didn't have the year you projected them to have. And so I think they are looking to kind of get someone who can step into that role just in case those guys don't pan out again this year. So I do think this is someone that you want to land. And like I said, you're probably not going to get his little brother, but if you can get him, one of the two is good. And it surely doesn't help if he comes here and he loves his time, you know, and you'll probably end up getting little brother back on campus at some point to watch his games, you know, and things like that. Also, you have defensive back Edwin Joseph, who was also on campus this past weekend. Third visit to FSU. He, you know, pretty much said he loved everything about the visit. And, you know, he doesn't really have any other, that I know of, any other visits planned before early signing day. You know, this one does feel in favor of the good guys. I feel like Florida State will land him on early signing day. So that's someone who's trending in the good direction as well. So that's pretty much just going to wrap up from last weekend, my thoughts on that. You know, this next weekend is another big visit weekend for them. They're having a lot of commits on campus that are already committed. I think Hakeem Williams is supposed to be coming in, which is good because you got some big not committed targets as well. So you have those guys there to help kind of pull them in the boat. And Hakeem has been one who's kind of helped recruiting on social media. And he said he was texting with some guys who were on campus last weekend as well. And so that's going to be big. You know, you do have the defensive tackle out of Western Michigan that's a big target. You have the offensive lineman out of Colorado that's a big target. So you have those guys coming in who would be great for Florida State to land. You know, we'll have to see how that goes. But the Western Michigan defensive tackle, you know, he's actually the number one tackle in the portal right now. So, you know, it's a crucial weekend for them. It's a big weekend for them. The staff, you know, it's time to earn their keep. I mean, they got a lot on their plate. So hopefully after the bowl game, they can kind of relax and go take a vacation or something. But it's going to be a hectic month for them, just kind of getting everything tied up for the bowl and early signing day. You know, they got, like I said, a lot of big visits this weekend that we'll talk about. We'll recap after, you know, we know some more about it. And, you know, again, you got early signing day coming up next week. The staff is out doing a lot of traveling right now, doing some in-home visits. And I know they're visiting with Cedric Baxter as well, trying to do a late push there. You know, that one doesn't seem to be maybe as trending towards FSU as we had thought. But, you know, I trust I trust Mike Norvell to be able to run with whoever he gets at running back. I mean, he can, you know, there's no shortage of running backs at Florida State right now. And you got another good one coming in 2024 as well. So like I said, it's just time for them to get out and just really put in a lot of work to get ready for the recruiting class, you know, because this is one of the last years. We don't know if they're going to change the rule in the future, but this is one of the years where you don't really have a cap on how many guys you can bring in. It just has to be under the 85-man limit. So they're not really looking to rebuild the program anymore like they maybe were in the past. So they can focus more on high school recruiting, but they also know that they have to, you know, really kind of get the best they can out of the portal because they really want to make a run at something next year. Now, of course, the staff will tell you they want to run at something every year, but they know that they have a stacked hand right now. You know, they already know if we were playing spades, you know, they got both jokers and they got both of the aces and the deuces and all that. They are stacked on offense anyway. So they got to go out and get a few pieces on defense. So that's pretty, you know, I feel like you're going to see some surprises on early signing day. We'll just see how it shakes out. And then, like I said, you know, just looking at next year, if you can add in buyers up front and if you can get Morlock at the tight end position, man, you got to be excited about it. You already are top 15 in this offense. When you consider guys like Johnny Wilson, guys like Deuce Spann, guys like Winston Wright, well, Winston Wright didn't even get to play last year, but a lot of these guys were also very new into the system, very new into this offense, very new into their careers at some. I mean, Deuce Vann hadn't even played receiver, but like one season. I think last year was the second season after transitioning from quarterback. So not only can you see an uptick in the players that you already have, but if you're able to add some more weapons, I mean, think about it. Like currently right now, you have a top five quarterback in all of college football. You probably have a top five running back room as well. You know, given some of the additions, getting Winston Wright back, adding Hakeem Williams, adding Jaheim Bell, you probably have, and I'm lumping tight ends in with that, you have a top 10 wide receiver room. You also have a pretty solid offensive line that you just have a couple of question marks that you have to fill, and Byers would fill one of those. You know, so if you can get some of those things, then again, you feel really good about this being a top 10, top 5 offense next year. Especially when you look at, like I said, how the schedule shakes out. Some of the teams are just continuing, like you continue to see Clemson losing some big name players, Florida losing some big name players. You know, I think Florida State has probably almost done better than any other team, maybe even in the country, at player retention this season. And so that really makes you excited about next year and what they can accomplish, given that there's going to be a lot of question marks on a lot of other teams. You know, it's like I joked about, doing those season previews next year is going to be tough because you're not going to know. You know, you're going to have to draw conclusions from how someone did at this college and how it's all going to fit together. It's going to be tough. But like I said, Florida State has done better than most schools at player retention, and that's really going to set them up well for next year. You know, we still got a couple of things that we have to wait to shake out. Is Fabian Lovett going to come back? Is Jared Verse going to come back? You know, I think Verse is still waiting on some draft grades to come in. Right now, there's a lot of places that are predicting him to go first round, maybe second round at the latest. You know, like we talked about. I understand, you know, we all want him back, and it would be huge. You know, look, I don't know if he listens to this or not, but he did like an edit I made the other day about Tatum Bethune returning. So you take that for what you want, but he did like it the other day. I was like, maybe, but you know, we'll see. I think he loves his teammates, he loves his brothers, and I think he knows that they're poised for a big run. But man, NIL money isn't NFL money. And so when you look at the long term, what you can, the life-changing money the NFL can give you versus 1 year in NIL money, you know, you just got it. You can't fault him for that. But if he does come back, that's going to be huge. Now, I do think Lovett will probably come back. I think he's one where NIL can really make an impact, you know, before he decides on his NFL future or not, which would be a huge boost. You know, if you get him and Daryl Jackson next to each other on the interior, I think you still need to add another piece there, but I think you like what you have if Lovett does come back. You know, but you've got, for the most part, your offense is almost set if you can land another offensive lineman or two and get Morlock in the boat. The defense is now where we're going to really have to kind of turn our focus to see if they can get some more pieces to just shore that thing up there. But again, guys, you know, when you look at the whole and how things are going to shake out, I really do feel like this team is poised to make a run at the ACC championship next year, and they might be one of the, you know, odds-on favorite to win the conference. I do think they have a real chance at making the playoffs next year. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my brother the other day who's a Georgia fan, and he's like, is next year the 12-year or the 12-team playoff? And I said, no, it's the, because I told him I thought Florida State was going to make the playoffs. And I was like, no, it's the 4-team playoff, and I know that. I think Florida State's going to be that good next year when you just look at the schedule they have. You know, if you just really got that LSU game on the road, and you got that Clemson game on the road and the Florida game on the road. Those are three tough games, but they're not unwinnable by this team if they continue to stock what they have. And I think people are really taking notice. You know, when they saw, people know the kind of player Jaheim Bell is. And it made a splash whenever Florida State landed him. You know, people were not shy to talk about how he's an elite athlete. And when they see, you know, Florida State get a little bit of success and then continue to add these pieces, knowing what all they're bringing back, you've garnered some national attention by the staff, and I think that also helps in recruiting. So, again, that is big. And, you know, the last thing, really, a couple things that I want to touch on. You do have Florida State breaking ground this week on their football-only facility. That is nice to see. You know, something that's been in the works for a while. We just kind of really haven't seen any new developments on it. But, you know, they have said that they are breaking ground on that this week. So that is another kind of feather in the cap for Norvell to sell and things like that. Just another step forward that this program is taking, because it's something that they need to get built for their own, because a lot of teams do have it, you know, and it is keeping up with the Joneses now. So unfortunately, but that's part of the business of college football. But it will be nice to see that get built and just be another asset for Florida State. And then, like I said, the last thing is next week we do have early signing day. I'm going to try and jump on and do some things for you guys next week, maybe a recap show or something like that. I am off that day. I'll just be putting out edits and stuff like that for the players that once they sign their letters and send it in. Some of them we feel pretty good about. Some of them, you know, there could be always be that option for a late flip. I know Auburn is pursuing Keldrick Faulk pretty hard. They got a new staff there. They're trying to make a splash. They've already got a couple big commitments or flips that I've seen on social media here and there. And, you know, Keldrick's a player that you want to bring in. He's a, you know, him and Lamont Green Jr., Boots, you know, if you can get them on your edges, that's two really good edge defenders. So you want to keep him in the boat. You know, hopefully no surprises unless it's in a good way for Florida State on early signing day. Hopefully nothing crazy like last year. We won't even bring that up. But that is next Wednesday, and so we'll be prepared for that to keep you guys posted on it. Like I said, other than that, guys, that's about it. If we have any news, we'll jump back on and get you guys up to speed. Until then, go check out the website. Let me know what you think about just some of the new things that I added, some of the little facelift I gave it. Go check that out. And then join us on social media. Get in on the conversation. Make sure you check out these edits that I got coming out for early signing day. I had a lot of fun making them because I think that's really what started me off on this whole thing was just the whole graphic design aspect and make it. Now, I'm no professional by all means, and I'm sure they won't be the best ones out there, but I did have a lot of fun making them, and I do like them, so I'm pretty excited to put them out for you guys next week. So with that being said, guys, we'll just go ahead and wrap it up here. You guys take care. I'm going to be back soon with a bowl prediction and preview. That's coming up a little faster than I thought. It's almost here, and so I'm actually, you know, funny story real quick before we get out of here. I don't know if you guys saw it on social media or not, if you listen, but me and my wife had been entering a contest on social media that we saw to win tickets to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And that's why when I saw a prediction that Florida State might play in there, I started to get excited because I only entered knowing there's a possibility they could have made it. And, you know, once they announced the Cheez-It Bowl, I was like, well, whatever. It was worth a try anyway. Well, we won. So, crazy enough, looks like I'll be at the Duke's Mayo Bowl the day after Florida State plays Oklahoma. And, you know, it's going to be a fun time. I mean, it's free. We got a parking pass. We got on pregame field passes to get to go down on the field, and then two tickets as well. So I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, it's Maryland and NC State. You know, hopefully Maryland can put a whooping on NC State or whatever. I'm not here to cheer for the ACC. I don't like NC State in particular, but it'll be a fun time. It'll be a fun experience. And, you know, I'm probably going to be in Garnet Gold anyway. So I'm excited about that, but that's just kind of a funny little story I want to share with you guys about the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So no jars of mayonnaise on the head, but I will have some fun while I'm there. And so that's it, guys. That's going to be a wrap for this episode. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate everybody listening, and thank you for all your support. As always, catch you on the other side, and go Noles.